Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Here we go. Hour 5, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to talk with Danny Cannell about college football and the national championship game coming up on Monday night here in just a second. Mavs and Thunder tonight. Kyrie Irving is playing. But maybe of more interest for Mavs fans, there's a report in The Athletic. Mavs might be dangling Gafford. A potential trade, maybe if they can get a veteran guard. I think they're ready to make Lively more full-time, 32-plus minutes a night, if you see the difference in those two players, and maybe you look for a more traditional type of backup center that's not necessarily a second starter, essentially. It's Danny Cannell talking college football with you now, brought to you by Bet Online. And a good evening, sir. How the heck are you?
I am phenomenal. A little bittersweet, though, right? The college football season coming to a close. It's been fun. But, like, I'm going to miss it. Like, Tuesday, I'm going to start jonesing for next year. So I think we got a pretty good game on tap, though. So I'm fired up for it.
No, I hear you, especially after the deflating loss from the Longhorns last Friday night. I was surprised they got back in the game and to have it end the way that it did. I guess it was fitting. Ohio State felt like the better team, but Texas was close, weren't they?
Absolutely. I actually took Texas to cover, and I was like, I wouldn't be surprised if they won. And, you know, after the first drive of the game, remember, Ohio State goes right down the field. It's like, uh-oh, this is going to get ugly. But then they settled into the game and, you know, had a plan, didn't let Jeremiah Smith smoke them. I think it's probably going to be a tough pill to swallow that you had first and goal on the one there with a few minutes left to go and had a prime opportunity to potentially send it to overtime or at least tie it up late in the game. But Ohio State's probably going to win the national championship, so that gives you a little bit of solace. And back-to-back appearances in the semis is pretty impressive. It feels like Sark has this thing rolling. So, yeah, it's a tough pill to swallow, but I thought Texas had a really good season.
You mentioned, Danny, about how they were able to sort of erase Jeremiah Smith. How did Texas do that, and can Notre Dame duplicate it?
Yeah, I mean, Texas basically gave you a game plan. And I think Oregon and Tennessee somewhat, but more Oregon, got a little bit stubborn and tried to play a little bit too much man coverage, where Texas dedicated a little bit more help and zone coverage to Jeremiah Smith. I mean, you have to make sure you keep him in front of you, first of all, and then you've got to dedicate more than one defender to him as well. And I thought Texas did that throughout the night, and they really did test Will Howard's patience and Chip Kelly's, to some extent, the offensive play caller for Ohio State, because when you're that type of offense, when they've been explosive and back-to-back weeks they were so good, like, you want to force them to do something they don't want to do. You've got to force the quarterback to check the ball down, to get deep through his progressions. And you have to give credit to Will Howard, because he did that a bunch throughout the night. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I'm just thinking about that game as we're really reliving it. It wasn't only the first and goal, but how about the touchdown, the 75-yard screen pass to Travion Henderson? That's kind of like garbage time. Like, if you take that off the board, how much different the game could have unfolded. So there were clearly moments. I mean, that's why you lost the game, but I thought Texas represented themselves more than enough, but I was really impressed with the game plan they came up with.
College football super beast Danny Cannell with us here in the G-Bag Nation. Does Notre Dame, like, do you see any spot in this game where they actually have the advantage?
No, not really. I mean, maybe in the secondary. Xavier Watts is a really good safety. He's a really good secondary player. So, like, maybe that's an edge, but they have Denzel Ward playing for the Buckeyes. But I do, and Caleb Downs, I'll take that back. I'm not going to say they have the edge there. Mm. I was just trying to come up with one. You know, offensive line, if they're healthy, but Notre Dame, they both have been banged up. So I think that's maybe even as far as the offensive line. Defensive line, Notre Dame's best player was lost in the Sugar Bowl. He was their leading sacker and leading tackle for loss guy, Riley Mills. So I do think Ohio State, there's a reason they're a 9, you know, almost a 10-point favorite in this game. It's because they do have the matchup advantage almost across the board.
Yeah, Danny, I, you know, started working on the college draft this year, and if, you know, and I was watching a bunch of Ohio State tape, and I was watching Donovan Jackson play at left tackle, and I'm kind of curious. I think that maybe that if Notre Dame would attack their right tackle, that Josh Freier, he seems like to me, he's kind of like, he doesn't look like he fits in like what you would say would be an Ohio State lineman. Maybe if there is an advantage that maybe Notre Dame could take it take advantage of is Ohio State's offensive line and maybe some mismatch pieces there.
Totally agree. And don't, like I was mentioning, we're talking about Notre Dame's offensive issues. Ohio State lost Seth McLaughlin, their starting center, late in the season. And then earlier in the season, they had a couple injuries too. So they've been kind of moving guys along, kind of making a patchwork offensive line, which, again, Chip Kelly has done a really good job of scheming up plays to get it out of Will Howard's hands to make sure he's not holding it that long. And that is like, so the way I've looked at this game is sort of from the perspective of how does Notre Dame keep this close? And I absolutely think that is one that they can do it. If their defensive line is able to get pressure, blow up the timing and rhythm of both the run game and the pass game, kind of come through those holes, hit the edges pretty quick, which I do think they can do. A couple players for Notre Dame, Howard Cross III, RJ Oben along the defensive line. Both of them, now this makes me feel pretty old. I was teammates with both of their dads. Roman Oben, RJ's dad, was my left tackle. Mm-hmm. And Howard Cross's, the third's dad, was my tight end, Howard Cross, for the New York Giants. So, but they have been a really a pretty formidable force along that defensive line. And Notre Dame is kind of built like Michigan. And we saw Michigan turn it into an ugly game. You know, bring Ohio State kind of in the mud. Bring them out there in the pig pen and just slop around with them. And if they can do that and force Ohio State kind of to be patient, much like Texas did, then I think they can make a game of it.
All right, Danny, I know Lou Holtz's answer to this, but which program do you think needs it more, Ohio State or Notre Dame?
That's a great question. Who needs it more? I mean, Ryan Day needs it more than anybody, right? He needs to kind of justify that he can win without Urban Meyer's players and that he can win the big game. Marcus Freeman is still just in his third year. Like, it feels like they're on the rise. They're not going anywhere. So, but from a program perspective, I mean, Ohio State just won one in a little over a decade ago in 2024, and Notre Dame hasn't won one since the 80s. So I think there's some different dynamics to it. But I'll say for Notre Dame, for them to win one and really showcase that they are back and they can, you know, there was a lot of conversation when Brian Kelly left Notre Dame. Remember what he said? He said, I didn't feel like I could win a championship here at Notre Dame, so I'm going to go to LSU where I have better resources. That stung a lot of Notre Dame fans, that reality, like that, which may or may not have been a reality because things have changed since Brian Kelly left. Like, now we're in NIL, so they're able to pay the players, and they've gone and hit the portal more aggressively than they ever had done in the past. So I'll say Notre Dame needs it more, kind of to showcase that they are one of the elite teams in college football, not just a team that's really good. Because even Brian Kelly brought them to a national championship game. They got smoked by Bama. They've been in a couple Final Fours, gotten beat pretty soundly in those. So I think Notre Dame probably needs it more to kind of establish themselves as one of the elite teams in college football again.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Like, do they have things set up where they could have a dominant type of run as, you know, maybe still the premier brand if you take a zoomed out long-term perspective on the history of college football? Can they get back to the top of the mountain and hold that down?
As long as they have Marcus Freeman, I am such a fan of him and what he's doing. He's been crushing it on the recruiting trail. They've got money to spend in the portal, and yet they spend it very wisely. Like, they go out and get guys that are grad transfers, like RJ Oben, who was 4 years at Duke. graduated, so they bring him in. A Riley Leonard from Duke, another player that fits their system perfectly. But they've been recruiting. They've been crushing it on the recruiting trail. And then I also think their independence really helps them. Notre Dame fans took offense to this because they thought it was a knock. I was meaning it as a compliment, but it feels like they've hacked the college football playoff system because they can create their own schedule, which this past season was four group of five teams.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
And they played Army, Navy, Northern Illinois, and there was one other that I'm forgetting right now. And then, you know, they played USC and Florida State, so they got kind of lucky on that one because neither one of those teams were good this year. Those would have been good opponents. And then they played five ACC schools as a part of that, you know, which Florida State obviously was a part of. So, like, the path to get there is pretty easy. They can't play in a conference championship game. But when they made this deal, they were like, who cares? We don't need a bye. We'd rather have a home playoff game, and then we'll take our chances. We'll get in most of the times. We'll get a home playoff game, and we'll play our way in. And our bye is conference championship weekend because we'll never have to play in a conference championship game. And then the kicker of it all is that while Ohio State and Notre Dame both get $20 million apiece for making the national championship, Ohio State only gets 1.1 of that $20 million because they have to share it with the other teams in the Big Ten. Notre Dame gets every single penny of the $20 million. So, in my opinion, they've hacked the system because they were allowed to. And still somebody stands up to them and says, no, you have to join a conference. They're still going to have a pretty significant advantage, I think, being an independent.
You know, and when you look at the matchup, so like on the like Notre Dame, it just seems like the skill players at Ohio State are just so much better here. Is there going to be just so much pressure on Riley Leonard to have to make plays in this game? Because I kind of feel like that Ohio State, when you just look at skill guys, has the clear advantage here.
Yes, it's not even close. And like, there won't be any scenario where Riley Leonard throws it for 300 yards. Like, right. I look at his attempts, and I think the perfect game plan is probably, you know, between 20 and 25 attempts for Riley Leonard, where he's, you know, 15 of 19, where he's 17 of 22, like where he's very efficient. And then he runs. And like, right. I don't think he's going to go off either. He's not going to rush for 100 yards. But what he does is he extends drives, you know, and those critical situations, those third and three, third and four, where he kind of, if there's nothing there in the pass game, he kind of bulldozes his way. He's pretty physical. He's got a knack for diving for first downs. Those type of yards, those tough, hard-fought yards, are where I think Riley Leonard makes a big difference. And then he's got to make a couple big throws. They don't have to be deep down the field, but like just really, he had a couple great throws against Penn State. A couple bad ones, too. He had a couple bad interceptions, but a couple really good tight window throws that kept drives alive and got you some chunk yardage just to kind of take some of the pressure off that offensive line.
What do you think about the Deion Sanders, head coach of the Cowboy, buzz?
I actually like it. I don't know where you guys stand on it, but I actually think it could work. Deion Sanders, beneath the sunglasses, like if you take off all the chains and you take away the quotes, he's an intense competitor who knows what it takes to be great. And that's one thing I've noticed at Colorado. The messaging is, you guys can all goof around. You can go have fun in the offseason. But when we come into this building, it's time to go to work. And when we step on the practice field, it's time to go to work. And we're going to be physical. And we're going to be competitive. And we're going to have competitive drills. And we're going to force competition on you guys. And it worked at Colorado this last year. You can't deny that. And I do think his mentality, I think his messaging could work with NFL players. I think they would respond to his style because he's fun. Like, he is a, you know, he does talk a lot of smack. And guess who else I think likes that bravado? Jerry Jones. You know, like, so I do think it could work with Deion. And I think it's probably 50-50 or maybe even slightly a greater chance that he does end up as the coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
It's Danny Cannell, Florida State quarterback, with you here, brought to you by Bet Online. Okay, how important, speaking to QB, how important is an elite quarterback in this landscape of college football? Is it less now because you can build such a great team in the portal? Obviously, you'd still love to have an elite one, but, I mean, we're not looking at necessarily the cream of the crop here, are we?
No, and I tell you what, even more so, when they started the playoff, I was ranking the top 12, like ranking them 1 through 12. And there were some good quarterbacks, but there wasn't anybody that blew you away. Like two of the top passers, Cam Ward at Miami and Kyle McCord at Syracuse, they were sitting at home watching. Jackson Dart was really good. He was sitting at home. And I'm wondering when a team is going to figure out, and it's kind of like the NFL model, where they've won with rookie quarterbacks that they don't pay a lot of money, and then they kind of build around them. And you can, like the Brock Purdy model, Jalen Hurts before they paid him in Philadelphia. Like, you draft a guy, and then you build around him. You spend that money on everybody else, because we've seen defenses dominate in this playoff. Like, look at Notre Dame, and as good as Ohio State is, their defense, look at the play they made against Texas. And Will Howard has been really good, but you know what's made him even better? The fact of all those talent around him that they've supported him with. So I wonder if some of these teams, like I look at a program like Miami, who just brought in Carson Beck and apparently, you know, reportedly spent $3 million on him. I would have said, go get you a pretty good quarterback for $1 million and then spread that money around him. Get him great offensive receivers. Get him good offensive line. Bring in a great defense. Dominate that way. Because we saw, again, last year, Miami spent a lot of money on offense. What was their issue? They couldn't get off the field on defense because they overlooked some of those positions. So the quarterback play, you don't have to have a superstar that's out there throwing for 4,000 yards and 40 touchdowns. You might just have a guy like Riley Leonard, who's a great leader. He's charismatic. He takes care of the football. He's tough. He's physical. Probably doesn't have much of a future in the NFL, but he fits great in that system, and they play great defense, and they run the football.
What's your way too early projection for Arch in Texas next year?
So I'm a little bit cautious because I see a lot of places, a lot of books, their favorites, including Bet Online. I need to see what they're going to do, like without Matthew Golden, Isaiah Bond, Gunnar Helm, Jaden Blue. Like, there's a lot of talent that's gone, and I get you rebuild, and they did it. They had a lot to replace last year, but like for a young quarterback who is only, you know, had two starts under his belt, I'd like to see a little bit more veteran experience. Didn't even mention the offensive line, which will be reworked again. They're losing some offensive line talent. But I do think with Arch and I do think with Sark, like there's a floor that feels like at the very worst case, it probably would be 8 wins. But I would even push it higher to 9 wins. I just think they're going to be really good. I think they're going to be a perennial contender in the SEC. I just think it's going to be one of those programs now, the way they have this role and the way they're able to spend, that it's going to be, is it a national championship or is it a, you know, a barely outside in the bubble top 15, you just miss out. Like, I think that's probably where they're going to be on an annual basis, is competing for championships again, which is awesome, because Texas being on that stage is so much fun to watch.
It is. And Danny, before we let you go, I do need to tell you I'm a Bet Online guy. I like the poker room as well there, but my account needs some help. So how am I betting this game, buddy?
I actually like the under on this one. So it kind of plays out in two ways, because I want Notre Dame to be in this game, but I feel like it might be wishful thinking. But if they do, I think, like I said, they want to turn it into an ugly game. So I think they're going to try to play time of possession, extend drives. We saw Michigan have some success running the football against this front. And again, it is a very similar style of team. And I do think Texas did show some of the game plan about not letting Jeremiah Smith get behind you. So I think Notre Dame's defense is going to try to disrupt up front, but not give up the big plays, keep Jeremiah Smith, the Mecca Buka, and all those skill set players in front of them. And even last week against Texas, we saw that 75-yard pass to Travion Henderson. Like, you take that away, they did not do a whole lot offensively. So I think Notre Dame will be able to do the same. And then if it does get sideways, like if the odds makers are right and Ohio State is that much better, I think their defense might dominate too. So, like, but I don't envision a scenario where Ohio State's putting up 40-plus points. I could see like a 35-7, 35-10 if it gets sideways. But I really think the sweet spot could be in that, like, 24-21 type game, maybe 21-17, where Ohio State comes out with the win, but it's a lower scoring game that's a little more hard fought defensively.
Love it, Danny. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the game, and we salute you for great coverage all year with us.
You guys are the best. Always enjoy being on with you. Have a great weekend.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.